What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
It's just gonna go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
We are live in studio, in person. I am Adam Azer on Fantasy Football Today. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is Monday. We got the biggest rankings movers in PPR in fantasy football for Dave and Jamie, who are right next to me. Hey, guys.
Ooh.
Woo, yeah.
It's been a while.
Yes. I haven't been in this studio ever, and I haven't been down here in this office with these guys since before the pandemic, so it's been a while, and it's good to see you.
You look the same.
You guys do too. Dave, what did you call yourself? You're a vampire? Or
I don't know.
Something like that.
You fat vampire?
I didn't want to
you
say
didn't
it.
Want to say the fat
I didn't
part.
Want to say it.
It's pretty obvious.
Fat vampire Dave Richard has not aged. Jamie, what's up?
How are you?
I'm good. I want to know who's moving in the rankings. Who's the biggest rankings mover for you? I know you guys were busy this weekend updating your rankings. Who is the biggest riser or faller?
Are we talking about just as far as like distance in the
Bijan,
rankings?
Bijan, from nowhere to five.
I guess that's a good point.
How about the guy that Bijan's taking over for? Algier just fell like a rock.
Depressingly so, removed Josh Palmer from my top 200.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, but Bijan ended up where for you guys?
Five at running back, 10th overall? Ninth overall.
Ninth overall, and I think fifth at running back for me.
Yeah, so you like him better than – I've asked you this on Saturday, but didn't ask you. You like him better than Pollard?
One spot ahead of Pollard.
Same.
Okay, I asked Twitter.
I hate the Zeke rumor that's most likely going to happen.
Yeah, okay.
Weird. That's weird. And that's not good for Pollard.
Bijan Robinson or Tony Pollard, I asked on Twitter, and right now 63% are saying – what do you think?
Bijan. It's also recency.
Yeah, but gosh, Pollard was so
he was good.
Even when Zeke was there, he was so good. If Zeke is back with the Cowboys, does he have a much bigger role than Tyler Algier does on the Falcons?
No. I mean, Heath illustrated it pretty well that, you know, they're going to get 550 carries out of this team.
Yeah.
So it's not all going to be Sean, unfortunately.
All right, so biggest ranking mover is basically the Falcons running backs. Josh Palmer, do you have another name that
– not necessarily the biggest rankings mover, but I've got a new 101 in PPR. I moved Jefferson down.
Michael
because of
Pittman.
Addison. How'd you know? Holy crap. How'd you do that? It's McCaffrey.
Okay.
Yeah. Risks and all. Just such a good spot for him.
Why did you move Jefferson down?
Because of Addison being there. His targets are going to go down for sure.
Do you think
no
so?
Way.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they had
no
to go down.
No way.
He had 182 targets last year.
Yeah.
So that number's going to go down anyway.
I don't think so.
And now Jordan Addison's there to take some work away, and it's a full year of Hockenson.
No.
He's not worth the 101. I'll take McCaffrey.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's see.
You're still on Jefferson 1?
1,000%.
And then McCaffrey 2?
McCaffrey's.
Who's 3?
3 is Cup.
Cup's my 3 as well. So, great.
That's interesting. I mean, full year of Hockenson that, you know, maybe they run the ball a little bit more. They were super pass heavy last year. 184 targets for Jefferson, 107 for Thielen in 17 games. So,
Osborne had 90 in 70 in 17 games, 86 for Hockenson in 10 games. How many targets for Addison? What do you think?
100.
He's basically replacing
that's Thielen. 107 for Thielen.
But he's more explosive than Thielen.
Sure. Of course. I would hope so.
All right. If you're not watching, if we're over here. If you're on
he's
YouTube.
He's targets, but he's getting the same as the other guy who just left.
No, we've got a more efficient wide receiver opposite him who can make plays. And
I don't know if he's going to be more efficient as a rookie than what Thielen has been.
Not what Thielen was last year.
Thielen was pretty bad last year. 70 catches, 716 yards, 6 touchdowns for Thielen.
Addison's got to be better than that.
I expect him to be better than that. I don't think it's coming at the expense of Justin Jefferson, who's going to be looking for a contract after this year. So
he's getting a contract I'm after sure, this year. I'm I don't sure think he's got to worry
about
gonna
that. He's going to go nuts.
He could have a down year, and he'll still be top three highest paid wide receiver.
It's probably
right?
fair.
Yeah.
All right, so if you're watching on YouTube, thank you very much. YouTube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. If you're not there, please go there. Check out all of our videos. If you hit the live tab, you'll see all of our full shows. You got Heath's Dynasty show tomorrow where you guys are doing a rookie draft, right?
We are, yes.
Okay, so Dynasty draft tomorrow, just a rookie draft. I'm sure there'll be more than that, but you'll see where we're drafting these players as of right now. And if you are watching on YouTube, hit the like button. That would really help us out. Please hit like. We'd appreciate that. Okay, let's talk about where the rookies are ranked. So I know Bijan Robinson is fifth overall for you guys. Let me just make the case for him to be ahead of Saquon Barkley. What do you think about this? So Saquon Barkley.
I considered it.
Last year. Okay, why? I'll go over the numbers, but tell me why.
Because of the uncertainty with Barkley, the fact that he's younger than Barkley, the fact that we've seen these rookies come in and just be absolutely, just ridiculously productive.
Yeah.
You know, and so he could be that guy. He's got the potential. He's got the system. He's got clearly the backing of everybody, owner, coach. You know, I can't imagine anybody's going to be upset with Bijan. So would not surprise me if by the time we get to August, he's at him.
I can't rule it out. It's certainly a possibility that he'll be better than Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. Because Barkley, what I was going to say is he was RB5 per game last year, but it was kind of a bad year for running backs. You take those same numbers, 17.6 points per game, 2021, he's RB9, 2020, he's RB8. So he'd have to do a little bit better than he did last year, and maybe he could. But you got to think they're going to throw the ball more, right? I don't know if that means good things for
Arthur Smith
Barkley.
Said that the Falcons are going to throw more.
No, I mean
this
the Giants.
Year too. I know what you meant. I'm just trying to tell you what Arthur Smith is lying about in his press conference.
So that just a thought about that. I don't know how Barkley is affected by Darren Waller, Jalen Hyatt.
To be honest, I could see myself putting a Bijan too.
Wow.
Because Eckler, 28.
Sure.
You know, again, uncertainty. Jonathan Taylor, rookie quarterback. You know, last year was frustrating. The whole team. So
question is, what role in the passing game does Bijan have?
I don't think it's going to be huge, but I wouldn't rule out 40 catches. You know, I don't think he's getting north of 50 in this offense. But, you know, you heard Arthur Smith say slot, play him in slot. You know, there was a report about him being the best receiver in Texas, you know, just in terms of his hands. So, but we hear that all the time and we get fooled by it every single time. Dalvin Cook's going to play more in the slot.
Yeah.
This guy's going to play more.
That never
in the
happens
slot.
For running backs.
It never happens to the
almost
extent.
Almost never.
To the extent that, I mean, even McCaffrey, he doesn't play that much as we've heard, you know, the expectations
right, right,
for.
Right.
So I don't think that's something you want to buy into, but I do think that. It's just makes a ton of sense to put the ball in his hands as much as you possibly can, especially with, you know, an experienced quarterback.
If he gets 4 targets per game, that's probably an upgrade over what the running backs had last year for Atlanta. And so that could be part of what Arthur Smith was saying. Maybe he wasn't lying. That's how they throw a little bit more is by using Bijan there. Between 40 and 50 catches is totally reasonable for Bijan.
Jahmyr Gibbs, let's talk about him. You guys have him 23rd for Jamie, 25th for Dave. This is PPR. I predict he will be higher than this.
Yes.
I feel like he's going to move up, specifically in PPR. And you know what? I think we'll get into the Eagles situation in a little bit. I think one of the arguments we're going to have, maybe the Bears situation, depending on how you feel about Foreman versus Herbert, is maybe talent versus veteran role, specifically here with Detroit. Because it's been a pretty underwhelming career, I think, for David Montgomery. He's in a very good situation now. Gibbs, I mean, you were just saying someone said they like Gibbs better.
Greg Cosell, yep.
Yeah, and a lot of people do, I think. A lot of people like Gibbs better than Bijan Robinson. So this guy could be super talented. You guys kept him out of your top 20 for now. Do you both have Montgomery? Oh, back-to-back for Jamie. Gibbs, then Montgomery.
Yeah,
Dave,
I saw Montgomery higher.
All right, so let's just talk about this, guys. Gibbs is 23 for Jamie, 25 for you, Dave. How could you see him eventually moving ahead of Miles Sanders, Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, guys like that?
Of course.
All right, so lay that situation out for me. Like, why is he 25th now?
Because I am probably ranking him closer to the downside and the floor rather than the upside. Because his upside is insane. If we look at his upside, it's he wipes David Montgomery off the field. He's an every down back for the Lions. They use him. We're talking about four targets a game for Bijan. We might see five targets per game for Jahmyr Gibbs. And if he's getting 12 to 15 carries on top of that, I mean, he's going to be in line to have a huge year if he gets that type of workload. But I'm a little bit worried. They also added Montgomery, and I know they like Montgomery, and they had these roles last year for their running backs where one guy was the hammer and one guy was the lightning. And I think that they've upgraded on the lightning, certainly as far as availability goes. And I think technically they've upgraded on the hammer too. And so both of these guys, I think, are going to end up playing all year long. You know, there'll be games missed here and there. Nobody stays healthy for 17 games. But I think Montgomery has a huge edge on touchdowns. Just looking at the track record of Gibbs at the goal line, both at Alabama and at Georgia Tech, and sharing at Alabama and Georgia Tech, makes me nervous to say, all right, yeah, they're just going to shove it all on his plate. Like, Montgomery's going to have to suck, which really isn't that far of a bridge to walk with Montgomery, because we've seen it before.
We always talk about capital and investment, right? So
this is when we're having our financial discussion.
They've had
good. I need to talk about my 401k.
They've had Montgomery on the roster now for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Right. A couple months or a month and a half. Something had to say, we have to go get Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, not wait for Jahmyr Gibbs. Go get Jahmyr Gibbs. And they said they would have taken him at six. So they are in love with this kid for whatever reason. And whatever role he's going to get, he's going to get the football.
We can guess why they love him.
Why?
Because he's explosive.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is
they can use him in any situation.
This wasn't like, okay, they needed a replacement for a physical running back because that's what Jamal Williams was. And so, look, we all consider and say 17 touchdowns, David Montgomery's not getting that. They're probably not scoring 17 rushing touchdowns again. But do those 17 rushing touchdowns, however they, you know, to the passing game, you know, where they go, you know, because Jared Goff had some, you know, bad luck last year. So that's maybe what, four or five touchdowns, let's just say, be realistic, that ends up, if it's just the exact same number. And I know I'm
a little confused. Total touchdowns from the running backs last year. 17
rushing touchdowns that Jamal Williams have, where do they get dispersed if they're replicated, right? So
a lot of them, I think, would go to Montgomery.
But I do think, and we've talked about this a lot, how many, do you remember the number? Was it like six, seven?
Eight, the Goff stat?
Yes.
Eight passes down to the one-yard line.
So,
one of them was followed up by a Goff touchdown.
Okay, so eight of those. So let's say four, right? Just be fair.
Yeah. Four goal touchdowns.
Four goes to the passing game.
Oh, okay. Right? So we're taking four away.
Now we're down to
taking
four
running back. Oh, but Gibbs could get one of them in the passing
game. But that's what I'm saying.
But so could Montgomery, too.
What I'm saying is Montgomery's ceiling is probably 10 touchdowns. I think if you want to say that that's a fair number for a guy that's never done that before, to get to 17 touchdowns is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Agreed.
So I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to come in. He's going to take a lot of those rushing downs. DeAndre Swift, like you said, availability. He averaged 5.5 yards per carry. You know, so Gibbs is just as explosive. And you give him the health factor. If he stays on the field, he could be a superstar. So, yeah, I the one that I struggle with, like, I like Dobbins better just because I think he's going to dominate the carries there and an offense is going to get better. Rashad White I struggle with. I have him right now ranked ahead of Gibbs because he's the solo act there. And Cam Akers. Those are the two that I struggle with.
What about James Conner?
Connor's behind for me because I just think that team's going to be terrible.
Me too. And yeah. I've got a Gibbs, White, Connor, and then Montgomery is ahead of Dobbs for now.
All right. On the number three running back for you ended up being Achane or Charbonnet or what?
It's for 2023?
Yeah. It's going to end up being Achane.
This is, by the way, not really going to talk Dynasty today. I'll let you guys do that tomorrow. But who's the number three rookie running back?
It's Charbonnet.
Charbonnet?
Yeah.
I'll take Achane.
Let me ask you about Achane because we're
– I don't know if he gets a lot of playing time this year. That's the thing. Without an injury, which could easily happen.
We're excited about him, but he is small.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about Gibbs being small. And Gibbs, I think,
we didn't even mention that
weighed 15
Gibbs.
More pounds than Achane did, yeah. I think, at the combine, something like that. So we'll see how it plays out.
I love that fit for Miami. But I hate the fit for Charbonnet. I hate the crowd in Seattle. The fit for Charbonnet is actually not bad.
Totally.
Right. But I Kenneth Walker could be blocking him. We just don't know how much. He'll be blocking him.
Did they crack your top 40?
Everybody after the top two is in a bad situation. Yeah. Unless Mixon's gone and Chase Brown's the guy. Like, that's the one that you can say. Or Kamara's, you know, suspended and Kendra Miller gets an opportunity.
You know, something could happen to Mostert or Jeff Wilson, and that elevates A-Chain.
Totally. But you're talking about two guys that have a history there with the coach, and I don't see them completely disappearing.
Did they crack your top 40?
No.
Okay. All right, so let's move on to the wide receivers here. Addison, your favorite?
For 2023, yeah.
And how high did you rank him?
Number one overall.
In the 30s.
42, I'm seeing for Jamie.
You're not going to see mine. I haven't updated it yet, but he'll be in there.
All right, 42. Heath has him 28th. That's ahead of Calvin Ridley right now. Now, I know if Heath were here, I have a feeling he'd say, these are my projections. I'll go through the rankings and adjust after that. But right now, it's Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Jordan Addison, Calvin Ridley.
Was that a snot wipe I just
said? No, it was an itch.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. You got Calvin Ridley. No, I'm fine. Calvin Ridley, Jahan Dotson.
He also dropped Jefferson, as I'm looking at.
Did he?
As in receiver ranking.
Jamar Chase ahead of Jefferson right now for Jefferson is not going to be impacted by Addison unless Addison has incredible rookie season. You know, who else is going to catch passes for them? It's going to be very
Hockenson.
Yeah, that's the guy who I think is going to suffer.
I agree with that too, but he's still going to be there.
I had a hard time keeping him at the third tight end.
Oh, he's not going to be the third tight
end. Yeah, you'll get him out of there by then.
It's hard. Everybody else behind him stinks too.
That's true. That's why I remember I said that. It's going to be a big debate who's going to be number three.
I think Addison belongs in the mid-30s. You'll draft him as a low-end number three receiver. But I think he's going to be like 75 catches, 900 yards, and 6 touchdowns his entire career, as long as Jefferson is healthy in Minnesota.
Would you have it? Would you rather have a Steelers receiver or Addison?
I think there's more upside with the Steelers receivers.
Deontay for sure.
Okay. Would you rather have?
I thought picking
Michael Pittman or Addison.
Pittman.
I'd rather have Addison.
Okay.
I don't like what's happening in Indy for Pittman and Pierce.
I think we've seen Pittman make more plays down the field.
What's the highest? I'm sorry. I don't want to spend too much time on this. All right. The other wide receivers. Any other rookie wide receivers? We're doing a mock. When's the mock draft?
Tuesday.
Okay. How many of them are going to get drafted in the first 10 rounds, top 120?
I think Addison does. I think Smith Njigba does. I think
Zay Flowers is gonna, does. Yes.
And Quentin Johnson, maybe.
So I'm going to give you guys...
Just because people are getting, you know, you get excited about new options.
Who leads the Ravens in receiving at wide receiver? I think I asked this on... I don't know when I asked this, but... Who's the best wide receiver on the Ravens this year?
Zay.
I would say Zay is the best wide receiver on them, but I have a feeling you're going to see Odell Beckham get 4 starts.
And Bateman?
I think Bateman's the biggest loser of the group.
Yeah.
All right. We didn't do quarterbacks. We did them last. Tight ends? Any tight ends? Any rookie tight ends? You know.
I mean, Kincaid's going to – I think Kincaid will end up being a top 12 tight end just because of where he's playing and what his role will be.
He's not my favorite, though.
LaPorta. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I struggle with LaPorta because I love his ability as a pass catcher. I don't think he's that far off. I think he's a little slower than Kincaid, but I don't think he's that far off. But is there a target crunch in Detroit?
Not the first 6 games.
Not the first 6 games? Okay. I can buy into that.
You think he's going to have an impact in the first 6 games of his career? It's pretty rare for a tight end.
I don't think impact. Look, none of these guys are top 12 guys.
You have him 15.
Yeah, none of these guys are top 12 guys. It just takes them too long. We, you know, the best of the best of the best even struggle.
We've seen it over the past few years.
Yeah. I mean, Pitts with the touchdowns certainly struggled.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Where I think Kincaid is going to have a lot of success. Just they throw so many touchdowns.
They do. But, again, he's got a numbers crunch with Diggs and Davis and still Knox there. I mean, they're not taking Knox off the field. They're going to run more 2 tight end sets. He is not a blocker. Knox is a blocker.
Right. You know, so how does that affect Kincaid? They're using Knox as a blocker.
It impacts.
It means he gets more targets.
This was another guy that depressingly had to take out of my top 2. It was Khalil Shakir. I was excited for his opportunity this year, and I don't think he's going to materialize because he's going to be a big slot is what's going to happen with Kincaid. So I think that's where Kincaid has an opportunity. But again, I just think is he going to get you have really lofty expectations for him.
No, I have really low expectations for most tight ends.
Gotcha.
So I will put the guy because this is. Basically because Dawson Knox has been a top 12 tight end per game 2 straight years. So I think – and his production's been horrible. He hasn't even gotten to 600 yards, but he's had enough touchdowns to get top 12 per game.
Okay.
I think Kincaid can maybe get to 850 yards.
Players, though. No, I don't even think he can get that.
No, he's a much better player than Knox.
But
a much better receiver
much
than
better
Knox.
Much better receiver than Knox. Totally much better receiver than Knox. Yeah. But again, it's where he's coming from on the field, you know.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, though. I think it's a good thing. Like, if they're just going to use Knox more as a blocker, and I do think he's coming off the field, Knox, because I think if they're going in one tight end sets on third down, I think that's going to be Kincaid. So I think
if they're not using 1-2 block, yes.
I think that it just gives their offense so much more flexibility from game to game.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's going to be – I don't think there's necessarily any consistency with anybody in Buffalo's offense other than Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
That's fine. I don't need consistency.
Huge question mark from week to week.
Your tight end 8 is not going to be a consistent player. No. Tight end 8 overall, not going to be a consistent player.
He's not going to be ranked that high.
No, but I'm saying I could see him finishing that high because it's not hard to finish.
He's got to get to probably 8 touchdowns.
Then. Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm betting on his ability to get there more than LaPorta's, more than Bears, more than Juwan Johnson's, more than David Njoku's. You know, that's all it is.
Right.
It's a gamble on touchdowns. And I do think him being older maybe helps him transition.
What about the lack of experience? 2 years playing, mostly as the number two tight end at Utah, after being the number one tight end at the University of San Diego.
I don't know.
And only 1 year of high school.
It doesn't bother me.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me.
Right.
He's like 40 years old. He's all right. Quarterback.
Hopefully his back holds up too. I think someone's going to take a stab on Kincaid late in every single draft.
Who's your highest ranked quarterback of the rookies?
Richardson. He's top 10.
Agreed. He's 10th.
Oh, my God.
He's 10th.
Wow. And you think that he's just going to start week one?
I think he's going to start week one. And really, it's just a bet on his upside with the caveat, Adam, that you're going to take another quarterback with him. And we've talked about how many solid quarterbacks there are that you can get in the later rounds, from Aaron Rodgers to Dak, Cousins, Tua, if you want to take Tua. And ride that
train. That's very risky.
Russell Wilson. I agree. But, I mean, that's where all the upside is. And even if you miss on both those guys, you can go to the waiver wire and find somebody.
Just depends on your league. If everybody's taking two, I don't think you want to go Richardson and Tua.
I mean, Jamie, you have him once. You guys both have him back-to-back with Deshaun Watson. Jamie has Richardson one spot ahead of Watson. Dave one spot behind Watson. I mean, I could never do that. Deshaun Watson, top five quarterback, top six per game. 3 straight years. Last year was a mess, obviously. But, you know, he can run too. He's Deshaun Watson.
If he can find that version of Deshaun Watson.
But even the
and
best.
Now I'm playing into what he's
But when have the best mobile quarterbacks been good as rookies for fantasy? They haven't.
Watson was one of those guys.
Well, he barely played.
RG3.
RG3 was amazing.
All right. That's a long time ago, right? But those guys threw the ball well. Deshaun Watson, especially. I mean, he threw the ball. He threw so many touchdowns that year. Lamar Jackson wasn't really fantasy. It was not really that.
Well, he was a gimmick.
Right.
That's 8 games.
Jalen Hurts as a rookie wasn't great. But then his first year as a starter, he finished.
There's a big difference, I think.
Right. And that's what I'm expecting for Richardson.
Kyler Murray was like borderline top 12. Justin Fields was awful. So,
but it was also a terrible offense.
Yeah. I mean, I understand ranking him 10th because. It's almost like Trey Lance last year, right?
Yes, it's the exact same thing.
You don't take him as your only quarterback, but you know the upside.
Right.
All right, that's interesting.
Barely a top 100 pick, but...
Anyone else make your top 20 of the rookies?
Young and Stroud in that order, just behind it.
I don't think Young made it for me.
Young's 26 for me, Stroud's 27.
So if I were...
You said top 20.
Jamie's mad at me for not doing the rookie draft tomorrow, but I'm starting my...
What are you doing instead?
I'm on vacation. As soon as this show's over, I'm on vacation. If I were in the rookie draft and I had 101 in a super flex league, I would take Bryce Young over Richardson. And
you guys would criticize
me. At 101.
But that's because
take Bijan.
Yeah.
And then I would take
right. So there's gonna be some this is an interesting subject because there are gonna be some people that need a quarterback in a 2QB or a super flex.
Yeah.
And they don't want to take the risk on Richardson, but they can't afford to take Bijan. And so they're gonna go and they're gonna take Bryce Young because he's the safest of those quarterbacks.
Right. And that's sort of a dynasty redraft thing. It's like, I feel like I'm sitting here and I'm telling you what to do with your dynasty team. If you miss that pick on Richardson, if he doesn't hit, that's a really bad pick in dynasty. It's one thing to do it in redraft. You can go to the waiver
wire. Everybody did it with Lance.
Yeah.
But Lance wasn't the 101.
So in dynasty though?
No, but in a super flex league, he was
a first rounder.
He was a top four pick.
Yeah. He was up there.
So in dynasty, are you going Richardson or Young?
Richardson without a question.
But you see the conundrum there is that there's so much at stake with that dynasty.
It's really tough to take Richardson.
Like, screw it.
I mean, that's kind of what fantasy is all about, is to go with the upside.
If he hits, he's generational potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
and
you
even
know,
if he's not generational, he can still be productive for fantasy.
Do you feel that way about Bryce Young? He's the number one overall pick here. He was
he's
great
tiny,
in college.
He's
generational.
I think I'm worried about him finishing regularly as QB10.
Okay.
From year to year.
Okay.
And definitely this year, I don't want his receiving corps scares the you know what out of me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
All right. I have no idea how long we've been on the air. It's been like 25 minutes or
so. In the
so.
Corner, it says 23 minutes.
Oh, okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk about the rankings movers amongst the veterans. Okay. Lamar Jackson's up. DeAndre Swift, up or down? I don't even know. Is this good or bad for him? We'll come right back on Fantasy Football Today.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
And we're right back on Fantasy Football Today. Let's go to the rankings movers amongst the veterans here. Lamar Jackson signs the deal with Baltimore, and then they draft Zay Flowers in round one. They've also added Odell Beckham. And then there's, I don't know, maybe Antonio Brown.
No.
Okay. Lamar Jackson is a, okay, where do you end up for you guys now?
First of all, I'd like to announce that I'm signing with the Ravens also.
Congratulations.
I moved Jackson ahead of Fields. I'm debating him versus Burrow, but he top four, top five.
He's already there for me. He's three.
You got him at three.
I'm sorry, four.
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 Yeah, four. Okay.
And Fields ahead of Burrow too.
Is it because of Zay Flowers? Is it because of Beckham?
It's because of all the above.
I mean, I think I said it on a previous show. Once he signs his deal, I'll be all Beckham.
Right, but that's putting him ahead of Joe Burrow.
There's more upside. At this position of all others, it's just so easy to shoot for upside. As Dave said, there's just a lot of quarterbacks. You know. So.
Okay. Is there, though? Because last year, that was a that fooled
no,
us, right?
You're right. You're right.
Last year, quarterback stunk. And so.
But, again, it stunk, and yet there was a Geno Smith to fall back on. There was a Jared Goff to fall back on. So,
but
yes,
those guys didn't produce like Hurts and Mahomes. And
no, totally. Of course
Josh
not.
Allen.
Of course not. But Hurts wasn't being drafted as a top four guy last year. He was just outside that. Burrow was just outside that. You know, so Herbert flopped. I mean, Lamar Jackson flopped.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to understand there's risks.
Of course. There's
but if they hit to where they're capable of, you win your league.
Here's why I'm comfortable with Lamar. Number one, the long-term deal tells me that he's not going to get nervous about playing if he has a minor injury. Number two, I like the Todd Monken hire at offensive coordinator. And just look at the moves the Ravens have made this offseason. Adding Odell, drafting Zay Flowers with their first pick, and they went crazy for him. If you, I mean, every team does this. But they just went nuts about Zay Flowers in the draft room when they took him. I think they're gearing up toward letting Lamar Jackson throw more, get him in a system that he's comfortable with. And they haven't added anything at running back, have they? They've kept it kind of the same. Well, they've got Dobbins and then behind him.
Gus.
Is Gus still on the roster?
Yes.
It's good for Dobbins. I mean,
it's great.
I think it's really good for Dobbins.
It's exciting. Okay, so the other day I asked you, would you rather have Geno Smith or Dak Prescott? And your response was, come on. I know Geno
Ask
Smith.
Ask me again.
Is Geno or Dak?
Come on.
He was better than Dak last year. By the way, the last time I asked you this, they had not drafted Zach Charbonnet. They had just had Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So they add Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and then you got Dak with Mike McCarthy saying, you know, I don't want to have the number one offense in football. I want to have the number one team.
He sort of, I don't say backtracked, clarified a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was asked at the owners' meetings about how do you replace Zeke, and he said, I think because he was trying to backtrack off of what he said in his previous press conference, I don't know if it was a pre-free agency press conference, whatever it was, it's going to be distributed in the passing game as much as it is Pollard. Okay. You know, so I don't think Dak's going to have a problem.
All right, so Geno, I know people are going to take Dak over Geno, but where did he end up for you? And then I guess the last time we spoke about him was they take Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but now they take Zach Charbonnet. So Jamie, with all said and done, what does that mean for
Geno? So Geno for me was in the Daniel Jones, Derek Goff grouping, right behind the Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers group.
So that's like right around 18th, 19th, 20th, somewhere in that
range? 16, 17, yeah, so in that range.
Where you got him now?
Now he's, I think, 14. And it's kind of like an asterisk because if Kyler's healthy, I'll put Kyler ahead of him just because I think, you know, what he can should be able to do. But I think, you know, if you're just looking at it, because I don't think Geno's going to all of a sudden turn into a running quarterback. Rodgers, Cousins, Geno, I think those guys right there, all relatively same.
So Geno went from a quarterback that might get drafted in every redraft league to a guy that definitely will get drafted in every single league. And he's in that batch of QBs that you can pair with Anthony Richardson. You can pair with, you know, if you want to have a second quarterback with Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson even. He's in that group, but he's toward the bottom of it. There's still more upside with Dak, with Cousins, with Tua than with Geno. But Geno's worth drafting for sure.
Any other quarterbacks make big moves for you guys?
Big moves?
Yeah, in the rankings. Or even small.
The only thing I can think of that might be considered, it's just a move, not a big move, is Kyler. If he's on the pup list to begin the season, you can draft him and stash him, and then you've got a free waiver claim to go add somebody else. And if they don't trade DeAndre Hopkins,
yeah,
it's a pretty nice receiving core for him to come back to with a defense that's absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
So he might have to throw a bunch when he comes back. And apparently he's on track.
Okay. Heath had Deshaun Watson up in his rankings.
Where'd he put him?
He put him...
Let me guess.
11th, which is...
Wait, that's Jamie up for him?
I guess so.
All right. I got Deshaun 9th.
Their first pick was a wide receiver. They didn't have a pick until the third round. They took Cedric Tillman out.
Yeah, if he's healthy, he's not bad. He was good in 2021 when he was...
It's a very good group. You know,
in Cleveland? Adding
Elijah Moore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Cooper's still obviously still playing at a very high level, and the joke is solid tight end. David Bell's a... You know, not a bad fourth option.
Yeah. All right, let's go to running back. So with DeAndre Swift.
Well, I guess DPJ would be the fourth option. That was probably not fifth.
I didn't get a chance to ask you.
Depends on Tillman's health.
DeAndre Swift, good or bad for his fantasy?
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But like,
before the NFL draft.
That's an oh, yeah.
Let's take it back to Wednesday when they didn't have Jahmyr Gibbs.
So Montgomery and Swift, and now he's Swift and Penny. It's absolutely great.
Okay.
In that system.
All right, so let's talk, where is he in the rankings?
So he's in that just outside top 24. You know, I think a high end flex. He's got to clearly prove that he can stay on the field and stay healthy, but he's going behind still one of the best offensive lines in football. You know, touchdowns are going to be an issue because of Jalen Hurts. And look, whatever Penny has to offer, Penny might be better than him and may stay on the field more than him, but we know Penny just has a hard time staying healthy. But this is as great a landing spot as you could ask for. You know, just given the opening, given the system. He's in a contract year, so you got to hope the Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley effect sort of takes hold. He's explosive. He's great. He just has to stay on the field and be used, I think, in a way that can sort of highlight his abilities. And I think Philadelphia will do that. So I love this situation.
They can highlight his abilities. Does that mean that they give him a lot of opportunities? And I think that just comes down to how all the other running backs are doing in that offense. I don't think they're ever going to put him in a spot, unless they're just short on talent, where he's getting 15-plus touches a game.
It's an interesting
I think
fit.
If he stays healthy, he's getting 15 touches.
I don't know what his role is. Is he?
Well, what's the floor role? Is he's working passing downs because he can do that.
Yeah,
he can be an air back in that offense. And he's never going to score any short yardage touchdowns.
He was running back targets in the NFL last year.
Yeah. Well, I think they improved there with Swift.
Probably, but yeah.
I think
you trade for him if you don't.
I think he's worth the round 7 risk. I don't think
he's going to go before them.
He might, but I don't know if
this is what I was talking about.
I don't know if I'm ready to go higher.
Where. He's so good. I think he's so good.
He is.
And it's not hard for me to see him being a top 12 running
if
back.
If he stays healthy, he is going to obliterate round 7.
Yeah. But
if he stays healthy, he obliterates round 3.
I don't know. That's the thing, because Sanders stayed healthy last year, and he's a good running back, but it's just not.
So imagine Miles Sanders with receptions.
But that's, I don't think.
But fewer carries,
that's,
you'd think.
If we're talking about ceiling, that's.
Yeah. It's weird.
DeAndre Swift playing 17 games.
Last year, it was a great offense for a running back, but it was a bad fantasy offense for running backs because they didn't throw to them, because Hurts scored all the rushing touchdowns, and randomly Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell would get a short yardage touchdown or something.
Giants game.
Yeah.
Always against the G-men.
All right.
He was 22nd in PPR points per game last year, Miles Sanders. you have to imagine on the ceiling projection for DeAndre Swift that he's much higher than that.
But we're almost, when you say that ceiling, that's almost just assuming, decent assumption that Rashad Penny gets hurt, right?
Well, I think that has to be baked ceiling. Into the ceiling. Right?
Well, it's also, again, you talk
it's
investment.
It's almost fantasy land to talk about his ceiling because it's not going to happen.
They gave Penny pennies.
Yeah.
You know, and so to go out and target DeAndre Swift when things went south for him in the draft.
But did you know, I think Schefter tweeted this, they traded a fourth round pick for him.
In 2025.
If they let him walk, they will probably get a fourth round pick.
It's a genius move. Yeah. It's a genius
move. So it's going to be a free.
And this is not the first time they've done this.
It's not a huge investment. That's my point.
Right. No, but it's a bigger investment than it is for Rashad Penny.
Yeah.
They did this with Jordan Howard coming off of the end of his rookie deal. And they did it with Jay Ajayi a year before. Mm. So he had 2 years left on his rookie deal. So this is a path that they've actually followed before. It's had a lot of success for them.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, maybe they thought they were going to get Jahmyr Gibbs. Maybe they thought that, you know, things were going to fall differently for them. Charbonnet, whoever was going to be in the draft. As soon as they saw that move, Howie Roseman, genius. Just go out and get somebody who's available that's got, again, huge upside. So I love this.
And paid nothing for him.
So Pacheco is someone that Heath had as a riser. And would you rather have Swift or Pacheco? Because no competition added for him.
Right now, Pacheco, but it's close.
Agreed.
Who's catching the passes for the Chiefs out of the backfield?
Travis Kelce.
There is Tony.
Doesn't matter. You could say anything. Travis Kelce's catching everything.
Where did you settle on Ken Walker?
20 behind, right in front
round
of Gibbs.
Round three.
Right in front of Gibbs.
Round three.
22 yeah. for Jamie and...
No, don't even look at mine because it's not updated yet.
All right, so that's Rashad White.
I won't take him in round three.
Ken Walker, Jahmyr Gibbs. What do you think about that?
Say it again.
Rashad White, Ken Walker, Jahmyr Gibbs.
I would take him over White today. There's still really good talent there, and everything's improved in Seattle. The only thing that didn't
include the backup.
Right. I was about to say, you beat me to it. The only thing that didn't improve is his situation because they've got now two rookie backup running backs. Yeah. McIntosh isn't as talented as Charbonnet. Neither one of them are necessarily like blow off further. The barn doors explosive.
Heath Sunku Walker?
Yeah, he's gotten 26.
Yeah, I'm probably... I don't think it's probably. I'm definitely interested in getting both Walker and Charbonnet. And if I can get Walker in round four and Charbonnet in seven, somewhere in that range, I'll love that. I'll take the duo of Pete Carroll's running backs for the balance of the season. That's an RB2. Just got to figure out which one each week is going to be the guy. Walker will get the first chance.
David Montgomery, up or down?
Down.
Way down.
Well, okay, because he had DeAndre Swift to compete with. Now he has Jahmyr Gibbs to compete
right,
with.
Right, so now he's got a healthier, just as explosive
all right.
passing downs guy. And that's if he doesn't get pushed out.
Ken Walker or David Montgomery?
Walker.
Okay, how about Kamara or Montgomery? I'm not going to do any Kamaras.
Everybody's going to pass on Kamara, he might end up being the best value on draft day.
Connor or Montgomery?
Montgomery.
Why do you guys like Rashad White but not James Connor? Why do you have him so different? Yeah, that's a thing. That's a legit answer. But you can see the similarities because the Bucs might be terrible too.
And what? I don't know. I don't think they'll be as bad as Arizona. And what happens to Connor when the Cardinals are down 21-0 at halftime?
He catches a bunch of passes.
He could,
like he did last year.
Or they find somebody else to do it.
But they don't have anybody.
But they don't have anyone else. I mean,
that's not right now. They don't.
Right, but you can't hold that against Connor and not hold that against White. Could say the same thing. Maybe they.
That's true.
Maybe the Bucs bring in a veteran. Let's see. The Chicago running back. So Heath had the Chicago running backs down.
And down or up?
He put them as down. I think
Foreman's down, but not Herbert. But
Rashawn Johnson.
They're gonna use two backs. That's as simple as that.
Most fourth round running backs are not Damian Pierce. They're Zamir White and. Hassan Haskins, like they just don't do much.
I wouldn't be surprised if Foreman's still their best runner.
Yeah, I hate to argue with Heath's rankings when he's not here. He has Joe Mixon up. So, what do you guys think about Joe Mixon?
I mean, look, if he gets through June 1st and he's still on the team, you got to be pretty excited about it from what his production can be because he's still the lead guy on this team that's going to score a lot of points. So, you know, right now I think at least I'll speak for myself. You know, you're just expecting something to happen.
15th for all of you right now, by the way.
Because of everything that's been said, you know, Duke Tobin at the combine saying, we'll see. You know, somebody else in their front office also saying, you know, for now, I think, you know, was the answer in terms of he's on the team. Zach Taylor, when I asked him, was a little bit more defensive, you know, saying he's been great for us. He's in the work weight room all the time, all this, you know, typical coach speak. But, I mean, they did not draft anybody until the fifth round, you know, and so as much upside as Chase Brown might have, you know, and he's somebody that you should definitely be looking at in your second round, maybe, but third round if he's there for sure in your rookie only draft, because if he does get an opportunity this year, forget about whatever role it is, back up to Joe Mixon would be the most likely situation still on the team. If he shows anything, then maybe 2024 could be the guy.
At wide receiver, you guys have the Colts wide receivers as being impacted by this. They drafted Anthony Richardson fourth overall. They also drafted UNC wide receiver Josh Downs in the third round. He's a smaller guy, 5'10", 175 pounds.
He's their new slot receiver.
And they drafted actually a lot of offense, two offensive tackles, one in round four, one in round seven, tight end Will Mallory out of Miami in round five. So up or down for Michael Pittman, Dave?
I went down because I think that they're going to be able to run a little bit more. They will run more with Anthony Richardson. Why would they waste that element of his game? And Jonathan Taylor will be healthy, so he'll run a bunch. And I think Downs is going to take targets away. He's good in the slot, or at least he was in North Carolina. I would expect him to be that short area guy for Richardson to lean on moving forward. And that just means fewer targets for Pierce, fewer targets for Pittman. Pittman already wasn't a dynamo in the red zone like we think he should be.
Yeah.
Big physical wide receiver. That dude should be getting red zone targets every game. He didn't before. I don't know if that changes now with the new offense. But when they're inside the five, he might be like the third option, fourth option for them besides running with Richardson or Taylor. So yeah. I'm really worried about the touchdowns. And I'm worried about the targets, too. So down for me.
I just kind of left him where he was, which was outside my top 24 to begin with.
Yeah.
So he's just inside the top 30 for me. But I do think that this is a much better situation for his ADOT, for his downfield opportunities. You know, I mean, he was just so bad because of how ineffective this entire offense was last season. And so now you have a guy that can put the ball down the field.
Yeah.
And he really never had that. I mean, you know, Phillip Rivers at the end of his career, you know, was probably his best quarterback in terms of that. But better blocking, better run game. We know how things break down when a mobile quarterback moves out of the pocket. And so I don't think Pittman necessarily loses from where his production could be. I think it just gets a little transfer a little bit different. I think yards will be better. I think catches will be done. I agree with Dave. I think targets are going to be impacted. But I think this is going to, if and again, I'm banking on Richardson. So if I'm banking on Richardson, this is still his best receiver.
Well, that's the question. You're banking on Richardson, but you're banking on rushing totals from Richardson.
I'm not banking on Richardson becoming a 4,000-yard passer, but I do think he could be a 3,000-yard passer. And I think just given the construct of what this passing game looks like, Pierce, I think, is going to end up being a bust.
Everyone's a 3,000. Well, 3,000.
No, Justin Fields was a 3,000-yard guy last year.
Yeah, he's probably the only one. Maybe there were one or two teams that – you think 3,500? Because 3,000 is going to be one of the lowest in the NFL.
I don't think it's going to be much higher than that.
That's terrifying to me.
But
unless he goes bonkers as a runner.
No, but from Pittman's standpoint,
I think he's no better than the number three receiver.
He's a 3,000, 1,000 guy. I think Pittman is going to be, what numbers did you get for Addison?
75,906.
Yeah, I think he's slightly better.
That would be a pretty good year for him.
I think he's slightly better than that.
Daniel Jones was 3,205 yards in 16 games. Let's get like 3,400 yards.
And what, 900?
700. And, well, if we add another game, 760 rushing yards or something. So, was yeah.
700 rushing yards?
He had 708 rushing yards in 16
games. So he's one of nine guys ever to go 3,007.
So he threw for 3,200 yards in 16 games. I don't think Anthony Richardson's going to have as good of a year as Daniel Jones had last year from a passing standpoint.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So you're looking
at that. So that's really bad for Pittman.
But I just, it's still a very incomplete, like, I like Josh Downs. You know, he's a guy I think that's going to have an opportunity because of Richardson's, you know, problems throwing the ball from a completion standpoint, you know, from an accuracy standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, a short area target like this is going to help him. But I still think Pittman's leading him in targets. I think he's going to lead him in receiving touchdowns. And if he's better than the 3,000-yard passer.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're assuming the worst. what about Lockett, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, DK Metcalf? What did you guys do with those guys?
Drop Lockett. You know, a few spots.
He's behind Pittman for you
now. PPR, yeah. Non-PPR, I'll take okay. Lockett. Drop Mike Williams. He was a top 24 guy for me. He's just outside. And Keenan Allen didn't move. I'll go back to what I said the night that he was drafted. I don't think Keenan Allen gets impacted. Metcalf, I don't think, really gets impacted either.
I agree about Metcalf. I agree about Keenan Allen. Metcalf down maybe a tad. You got to downgrade Lockett. We do that every year. And he ends up outperforming it every year. So That's a dip to buy if we're talking round six, round seven. Williams scares me because I think Quentin Johnson could end up being a better version of Mike Williams.
Yep.
So I've got all kinds of bust sentiment on Mike Williams.
Okay, so I'm
like, as much as I don't like Pittman, I think I'll take Pittman over Williams.
I'm going to try to send this over to Schaefer. Maybe we can show the graphic. Do you want to take a look? It's the yards per target, minimum 200 targets from 2021 to 2022. And Tyler Lockett is number one. And DK Metcalf is much worse. Tyler Lockett's averaging 9.9 yards per target, Metcalf averaging 7.4 yards per target. So
it's an age thing for me. I mean, he's not getting younger.
But Jacob is just tweeting that DK Metcalf has been extremely reliant on target volume. I'm not going to send this to Shapers, never mind. But you're off the hook. But if JSN, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, takes away targets from both of them, based on what they've done recently in the last 2 years, it should affect Metcalf more than it would Lockett. But Lockett is going to be 31.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And maybe that's something that we need to do some more research on. I think that they drafted Smith-Njigba to be a solution for when teams take away both those guys. They didn't have a good third option last year. And now they've got a very good one. That dude is going to be able to make plays after the catch like crazy. He gets open very easily. He's just very quick in his route running. And if it just comes to pass that every team plays like cover two against them and they're trying to dare them to throw deep, then Geno Smith will check it down a lot more. That'll hurt his efficiency numbers, but it'll be great for Smith-Njigba.
We should really reflect on the last almost 10 years of Seattle Seahawks football and how easy it has been from a fantasy standpoint, because they've never had a number. They've pretty much never had a number three passing option, and they've more or less just gone with one running back. Right? They've been extremely predictable and pretty easy, and everything changed perhaps on Thursday and Friday. So
I don't know if they've been doing it that way for 10 years, at least with the rushing game.
It make you think, right? I mean, that maybe that we're overreacting, but I don't know how JSN doesn't have an impact on the passing game.
I'm just worried about volume being crazy good for him, and I don't know how many touchdowns. He might get 4 touchdowns his rookie year. But I would bet on that talent in Dynasty.
All right, I'm going to take one more commercial break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about Dawson Knox. Just a few tight end notes, I guess. We'll be right back.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
All right, we are talking about rankings movers after the NFL draft. Dawson Knox, who's your highest ranked Bills tight end?
Oh, Kincaid.
Okay. Yeah. So Knox is out of the top 24 then? Out of the top 20.
He's going to be definitely close to 24.
And Heath had Irv Smith as a riser for the Bengals.
Because they didn't add anybody.
Yeah.
Streaming tight end, if you like the matchup in week one, Irv can be your third to last pick.
I don't know how much better he is than what Hayden Hurst was a year ago.
Well, yeah. I'm telling you, he's just a streamer. It's not, I'm going to make Irv Smith my guy for the whole, I don't know what, I just hugged myself. I don't know why. I don't see Irv Smith being as good as Dalton Schultz or Pat Freiermuth at all. If you like the matchup in week one and maybe even week two for Irv Smith, then you draft him and then you stream
him. Heath has him 13th. For me, he's 19th.
Yeah, he's closer to 19th for me than 13th.
I'm assuming the answer is no, but did anything change for Evan Engram as they drafted Brenton Strange in the second round?
Not for this year, but Strange is interesting. He could end up being a pretty decent target getter in that offense. At four tight ends. Not somebody that's like dynasty relevant, like third round pick in rookie only drafts, maybe.
Okay. Let me rapid fire some players at you that I didn't know if we would get to. We sort of did, but just give me quick thoughts. Rashad Bateman.
Really don't want to draft him.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's more productive than we're going to give him credit for. But yeah, I think you got to look at him as the third best receiver, fourth best option on the Ravens.
Ew, yeah.
Some of these guys we did talk about, but Rashad Penny.
He lost value.
When do you draft him?
He's the second Philadelphia running back I would take. But
round,
you know, he's
10, eight,
eight, nine, 10.
I think he's,
I think you,
you get off to a good start with him.
You view him like you probably view Algier now. You view him like you view Devin Singletary now, maybe Charbonnet, you know, those type of guys.
I'm hoping he gets me off to a decent start for the first month of the season. And anything after that is gravy. Round eight.
Khalil, gravy, you a gravy guy? Turkey?
I'll put it on my turkey. Yeah, because sometimes the turkey's dry and that's no good.
Well,
you got to do something to spice it up.
If the turkey's not dry, do you go gravy?
I like gravy anyways.
But I've never been in, as big as I am, I've never been into sausage gravy.
I don't think I had it.
I think it would gross you out.
Khalil Shakir, you talked about, is out of your top 200.
That's a guy that we're rooting for, but I don't think he's going to have consistency.
All right. How about the Bills? The Vikings of Alexander Mattison. I saw Dalvin Cook should be traded to the Bills, so I got that on my mind. Alexander Mattison.
Bills added a running back today.
Yes. Today? Who?
Latavius Murray.
Oh, that's right. I did see that. Yes. And
why get Dalvin Cook when you can get Latavius Murray?
But Alexander Mattison is sitting here as the number two guy. They haven't added anybody. Dalvin Cook, a lot of trade rumors. So thoughts on Mattison.
Is he the same every single year? As long as Cook's there, he's going to be one of those guys that people will target as a bench running back who
Cook's
might
not
blow
there?
Up. Oh, well, I almost want to wait until I see that happen because we've talked about that before. And this is the closest it's been to happening. But I still don't know if it's gonna happen.
Again,
for now, round 10, and if he's the main guy, then we're talking about it.
The fact that they didn't like Mixon, they didn't add anybody, you know. So that he's a winner, you know, right now.
The Bengals did though.
Wait a minute. The Vikings added somebody.
In their backfield.
In the draft.
McBride.
We
oh yes,
about,
oh, right, they right, did. Right. That's
and
right.
He's a rundowns back, but he's
pick.
A great fit for their offense.
He's a XP guy. Yeah.
Arizona wide receivers, Jamie. Thoughts on what we're looking at right now?
I still think the top two guys are pretty safe, you know, Marquise Brown and Rondale Moore, you know. So until we see Kyler Murray back, right now I'll probably say the three best pass catchers will be Brown 1, Moore 2, and McBride 3.
And so you're not buying this whole DeAndre Hopkins isn't getting traded stuff either?
I think he's gone. If he stays, then it's a completely different conversation.
I know.
But I just can't see a situation where he's there and there and happy.
How about Cam Akers? The Rams, their first draft pick was 36th overall. They took an interior offensive lineman, Steve Avila. He was the first.
They got Zach Evans, though, didn't they?
Gosh, I'm sorry.
I think they did.
Blank. So
not that Zach Evans is a wonderful running back or anything like that, but that's somebody that could end up taking over for Akers if Akers gets in the doghouse again.
I just don't care about running backs drafted and mostly in day three, but maybe round four.
I know. What do we care about Algier and Pacheco and Damian Pierce?
Agreed. You're right. No.
We don't know what's
going to
happen.
Sometimes it happens. But for the most part, I would say 90% of the running backs drafted in round six or seven, probably even more than that, are not going to matter.
Probably.
So I'm not looking at Zach Evans as a guy that's a threat to Cam Akers. And I am just saying that offensive line was a huge concern last year. They went and they drafted maybe the best interior offensive lineman. He was the first one off the board in Steve Avila.
I don't know if he's the best.
I'm just saying,
he's going to start for them. I think he's going to start for them.
He was the first interior offensive lineman drafted, so maybe he's the best. I think that's a fair thing to say.
Cam Akers finished to 2022 was the best we've seen him look in maybe his entire career. And so he's healthy coming into this year, hopefully. And I think you draft him as a number two running back, even though the team's kind of dicey right now.
Treylon Burks. I don't know why I decided on him, but they still have Tannehill. They drafted Levis. They didn't really add much other than that. They did draft Skoronski, which was great. He could play guard or tackle. Treylon Burks.
I think he's a winner. You know, just has to stay on the field and obviously prove that he could be more consistent than he was a year ago. And look, that passing game was just an absolute disaster. Tannehill in and out of the lineup. Malik Willis just did not look NFL ready. So whether it's Levis starting, I think that might be a little bit of a downgrade for him just because of what the inconsistency could be there. But I think if Tannehill plays 16 games, you know, I don't want to, you know, use the conversation I had with Okonkwo a few weeks ago as the end-all be-all. But, you know, he said this passing game does have a chance to surprise some people. And I think that's fair. You know, Kyle Phillips got off to a great start, you know, in training camp last season.
Slot guy, and then he
got hurt. He's actually a great late-round flyer just because, again, should be there, you know, on the field quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a group now that's going to, I think, ask a lot of Treylon Burks. Like I would just, it happened to catch my eye. Heath has him ranked, I think 24th, which is very, very high. You know, I'm nowhere near like,
I got him at 37.
Yeah. He's
right in that range
for
me.
He's late 30s, early 40s for me. But could be a huge steal if he does end up turning into the type of player we thought he could be as a rookie.
Yeah.
And an awesome guy to go and target in dynasty after the first year bust.
No, he's got a lot of appeal. You just can't judge him based on last year's. Their quarterback situation was so bad. Addison or Burks?
That's kind of where I was at. I think Burks ahead of Addison, but it's close.
I think I'll take Addison.
Okay. Got some emails real quick. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. That's the letter I. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. This is from Joey. What do you do with Travis Etienne in Dynasty?
Keep him. Start him.
Not worried.
We didn't really talk about Tank Bigsby and what he does.
We did. I don't think you're on this.
We did on Friday night.
Okay.
They didn't. Jamie and Heath didn't really think it was a big deal.
I mean, he could take over a short yardage goal line role and cost Etienne, maybe even between the tackles. But I still expect Etienne to be the main running back in that offense and to be used more in the passing game.
All right. This is from someone who said, no names, please. So give him a fake name and location.
Sylvester from Monterey, California.
Gray the trade. 12-team, half-point PPR, super flex. Look, he gives pick 101, 104, 105, 107, and 203, and a first-round pick next year. 101, 104, 105, 107, 203, and a first next year. It's a super flex. He gets Kyler Murray, DeAndre Swift, T. Higgins, T.J. Hockenson, Rashad White, and Tua Tagovailoa. You are getting Kyler and Tua.
That's great. I'd rather have the pick. You could have Richardson at 101. If you want to take another quarterback, Stroud will probably be there at 104, if not Young. And if those guys aren't there, then that means Bijan's there, and you can get him.
No, you're taking Bijan 101.
Not Richardson.
No.
And you love Richardson. I'm not surprised passing you said on
Bijan. No way.
Well, you're getting – so you take Bijan 101, and then you get – you get a quarterback at 104. You get one of the
You can get two of them.
Potentially.
Right. Yeah. And if not, then you get
one. Oh, because he has 105.
Right. He's got 105 too.
So he may get Richards. He may get Bijan and Gibbs and a quarterback.
Right.
Or Bijan and two quarterbacks.
Yeah. So why would you rather have Murray and Tua? T. Higgins is the best player in that.
I think Tua and Kyler are very valuable.
Waiting for you to get to better name. Yeah, but I mean.
It's a 2QB.
The Cardinals, if I'm the Cardinals right now, I don't play Kyler Murray in 2023.
They will play. You always do that.
If they're 0-5,
I'm the Cardinals, knowing that I have all this draft capital next season, I'm just hitting the reset button for 2024, get Kyler 100% healthy, and just put weapons around him galore. Because you're going to get another, hopefully, draft pick or capital for next year when they trade Hawk.
And you have the Texans pick, right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay, so all you have to do is root against the Texans. Then you're fine. How about from Jimmer Cleveland? Dear Grant, Tay, Caleb, Trey, and Chad. Grant, Tay, Caleb, Trey, and Chad. It seems like these are Mr. Irrelevance.
Well, there's no Brock.
What is your current perceived value of Brock Purdy? Is the question. I have the 111 in a 12-team Superflex Dynasty League. I am considering pairing the 111 with Brock Purdy to try to acquire one of this year's high-valued rookie quarterbacks.
What do you think? If you can do it, do it.
I mean, obviously, but I don't think anybody's giving up a top five pick because of Brock Purdy in the 11. Like, if it was Brock Purdy in the 7, maybe, Brock Purdy in the 6.
And he says, I don't even know if people would do that because – Brock Purdy could turn into a pumpkin this year, and we never hear from him again.
What's the lowest draft pick you'd take in return for Brock Purdy and 111?
110.
Well, we just illustrate. I mean, if you get to 5, then you might get a quarterback.
So you can shoot for five and work your way back.
A quarterback or one of the top two running backs. I mean, that's the sweet spot to be at.
I just don't think you'd have to find a manager in your league that's just crazy desperate for a quarterback. For him to
like
if you go back to the
trade that you were saying, giving up Bijan and the potential of one of those quarterbacks, forget about everything else, you know, all the other picks after 1 and 104 and 105, you know, so those three picks, you're giving up potential 8 to 10 years of superstar running back, right? If Bijan's healthy and produces like
let's say five to six.
Okay, yeah, so I would aim for five.
Whatever.
That's still good.
Sure. And then one of those quarterbacks, which, you know, you like Bryce Young better than Richardson.
I like drafting him better than Dynasty, right?
And Stroud maybe just as good.
I do like him better than Richardson, I'll say. So
you have the potential of two of those guys. Like if you were to tell me right now it was Justin Herbert, right? Or Joe Burrow, or you know, maybe even Justin Fields. You know, just to look at the guys that have the chance to be superstars at the quarterback position in the Superflex. Like, that's the type of move you're trading. Yeah. Bijan for.
All right, we have a team name Sunday from Nick. A Mingo Ate My Baby. That's good. All right. Good way to end the show.
Not really.
It's good.
It's good way for you to end the show.
You cannot have the Mingo. How about that? So we're out of here for today. Tomorrow, Dynasty Show with Heath, rookie draft. Wednesday, probably a mock draft review. Thursday, going to probably get an industry guest on. Big week for you here on Fantasy Football Today. I'm going on vacation. I will see you hopefully next Monday, if not next Wednesday or something like that.
That you're here next Monday.
I might come in next Monday. I might. Yeah, I haven't decided. I'm on vacation. Remember, I haven't really taken a vacation over a year. So let me have some fun. I'll see you in Disney, everybody. Have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.